Tonight's shiur is Le'ili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Rav Chaim, sponsored by the Weinblatt family of Ramat Beit Shemesh. This week we have no Parsha Shavua, it is Yom Kippur, so we will I'll share with you some thoughts and stories, mostly, connected to Seir Simei Tshuva, Yom Kippur. There's a famous Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tenzayin Amud Beis, where the Gemara discusses the din, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Amar Rabbi Kruspedai, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha Sfarim, Niftachim, Rosh Hashanah. There's three books that are open on Rosh Hashanah. Echad Shal Rishayim Gemurim, one is of Rishayim, Echad Shal Tzadikim Gemurim, Echad Shal Beinanim, and Tzadikim and Average. Tzadikim Gemurim, Nechtamim, Lal Telechayim. So Rosh Hashanah, Tzadikim Gemurim, right away, signed and sealed for life. Rishayim Gemurim, Nechtavim, Nechtamim, La'altar L'misa. They're right away for Misa. And the Beinonim, Atluim, Be'omdim, Rosh Hashanah, Vad Yom Kippurim. The average people, they are literally Tluim, Be'omdim, hanging and standing from Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur. Then, Zachu, Nechtavim, L'chaim, Lo Zachu, Nechtavim, L'misa. If there is Ocha, then finally Yom Kippur, then they also go into the Book of Life, and if not, to the Book of Misa. So the question is asked, it seems that we have the Book of Life, we have the book that says on it, you know, life, and we have the Book of Death, it says on it, like, death, and that's Tzadikim Gemurim, that's Rishayim Gemurim, and then we have this Beinoni book, but they ask that, why do you need a book if it's not used? Meaning, what do we say? It says the Beinonim, they're hanging there, and then if they're Zocha, they go into the Book of Life, right? And if not, they go into the Book of Death, signed and sealed for death. So there's this book, third book of the Beinonim, but it's not used. What do you need it for? So the Yalkuter Gishuni is a very interesting shot. It says that Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that in these days, now the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a person should be careful when he's saying davening and Marav Hashkivenu Hashem Elokeinu, right? And so it says over there, V'amidenu Malkeinu L'chaim. We say those words. So the Mishnah Berurah says during Dafka, always, but specifically in the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, a person should be careful and to say the word L'chaim very clearly. In other words, it should be V'hamidenu Malkeinu. You should literally, like, you know, stand us up, our king, L'chaim. And we should wake up, and we should be L'chaim. So he said you should pronounce the under the lamed as a shva, two dots, one on top of the other, L. So you should be very careful to say L'chaim. Why? Because if you're not careful, you might say L'chaim. So what's the difference? L'chaim could be understood as lo chayim, not life. So here we're asking Hashem, v'amidenu has v'shalom, v'amidenu malkeinu lo chayim. Don't bring us to life. You know, so it shouldn't be written in the Book of Life. Has v'shalom. So therefore, you have to be careful. Don't say la chayim. Make sure it's le with a shva, not a patach, not with a la. And Meili says a gval techedish. He said, not like we thought. We thought we have the three books are, this one says on it, life, chaim. This one says on it, misa, death, and then beinonim, whatever. He says, no. Each book says on it, lamed chet, yud yud mem sofis. L'chaim, l'chaim, l'chaim. Okay? All three books. But what? The book of the tzadikim gemurim, right? It says on it, lamed chet, yud yud mem. But under the lamed, there's a shva, le. L'chaim, right? In the Rishayim Gemurim, they also have the same Lamed Chet Yud Yud Mem Sofis, but under the Lamed there's a Patach La L'chaim Lo Chaim. That's the Book of Misa. The middle book, what? It also says also Lamed Chet Yud Yud Mem. That's the Vort. The Beinanim are written in that book, but there's no Nikud, there's no dots or underneath the Lamed yet. That we wait until Yom Kippur. If we see that he does good and he does truva, etc. So then, what goes underneath the lamed? Two dots, ashva, lechaim. And if not, patach, lachaim, lo lachaim. It's not, chas v'shalom. So yes, there is a book. It's not a there are three books, and each one says the same thing. L'chaim. It's just a matter of l'chaim, l'chaim, or the beinanim. Nothing yet until Yom Kippur when the nikud is added, and they bring the famous mashal of the Saba Mikelm, which explains a little bit the lashon of tluim beomdim. The famous mashal says that they used to hang somebody. Maybe they still do it this way. I don't know. Is they used to put them on like a platform that's collapsible. Okay, so they stand him on the platform, and it's high up, you know, with a trap door, and he's standing on this trap door with a noose around his neck. And then they say, one, two, three, go, the trap door opens, and then, you know, he gets hung. So the person, during the Yisrael Yisrael Mechuvah, the Beinoni is tluim bomin, tali veomid. What does it mean? It means both is true. He's talu, he has the noose around his neck. But he's also omed. He's also standing on this on the trap door, and then if he's zoche, then the noose comes away off his neck. If not, then the trap door opens and he gets on. So, I would like to add, with all due respect to the Yaakov Gushini, but I'd like to add a little bit to based on that to the Vor. I want to say like this, that therefore the Beinoni is standing on this trap door, right? The noose around his neck. And we said that up until now, right, he doesn't have the nikud, the dots underneath the lamed. It's either going to be two dots or a line, right? So how do we pronounce this again, this nikud? Two dots is called a shva, right? Shin vav he, shva. And one straight line is a patach. So mele, that's the shiloh over here. Is it going to be patach? Lashon petach, is the trap door going to open, and it's going to be a patach, lachaim, not to life, and then the trap door is going to open, he's going to get killed. Or is it le, what's le? Shva. Shva means shaveh. It means the door is not going to open. The ground's going to stay even, shaveh, that's the shva, and that's lechaim. The le is the shva, and then he gets life. That's my addition. Okay. Let us go on a little bit. It says, in the mention a few things that are we mentioned Tefillah Zaka on Yom Kippur. One of the things we mentioned is Lataltel Dvarim Amukti Meshavas Yom Tov. There's a cute Maisa that there in years past, many years ago, in the Yeshiva Kol Torah in Yerushalayim. At that time, the Rosh Yeshiva was Rav Elchanan Kunstadt. And in those days, the yeshiva couldn't afford sugar, regular sugar for the teas and coffee, whatever the bachurim had to make. So instead, they had this artificial sweetener. Now, this artificial sweetener was not so and so great tasting. So the bachurim, would rather have the sugar. But the sugar was like expensive, and they couldn't afford it. So they gave the bachurim this artificial stuff. However, there was one place where there was sugar. Where was that? Of course, in the teacher's room, right? The chadar morim, the ramim or whatever the yeshivas. So they have their room, and there in that room they had sugar for their tea, because they're the ramim. So the rabbeim stuff, they all had the keys to their room. They want to have a tea, they go into that room and they have the tea and sugar, whatever. So that was fine during the whole week. But on Shabbos, they couldn't lock the door because you'd have to carry a key and they didn't want to carry in those days, whatever. So they have to leave the door open. That being the case, so some of the bachurim used to take advantage. The Shabbos the door was open, so they would go and take the sugar from the cheder of the rabbanim. So the Rosh Yeshiva wanted to do away with this. So what did he do? He left a note before Shabbos. He wrote now right next to the sugar over there, and he wrote the following. He says, I, the fact that you're here, I didn't know who he was talking to, but the fact that you're here and you want to, stick your spoon into the sugar over here, that must mean that, the artificial sweetener is not good enough for you. And you want the real thing, you want sugar. So he says, okay, but instead of taking our sugar from the, over here, the container over here, Instead, I left you 5 shekels over here on the side, and instead take the 5 shekels and buy yourself a bag of sugar yourself instead of taking our sugar. He continues at the end of the letter, the note, you'll ask me, how can I give you money on Shabbos? It's muktzah. He says, it's true, muktzah is a serious avera. But you should know that gezel is even a worse avera. Signed, Rav Elchanan Kunshtadt. One of the things we mentioned also in the Tefillah Zakah is we say Al Yedei Chibuk V'Nishuk Sefer Torah, that you know we kiss the Sefer Torah on Yom Kippur. So there's a Maisa with Rabbi Meir Ben Shushan, and he's a Chashav Ben Torah who wrote Svarim, and when he was a Bacher, he learned by Rav Shmuel Orbach Shlita in Shivas Milas Torah in Yerushalayim. So this Rabbi Meir Ben Shushan, his family lived in down south in Dimona. That's his father was like a pashut a yid, and that's where you know they grew up. And his father lived there for most of his life. And then towards the end of his life, when he got older, they moved to Beersheva. That's where Rabbi Meir was living. So his father moved over to be with them in Beersheva. So his father was nifter on a Friday, on the Erev Shabbos, and the family were questioning where should we bury our father. On the one hand, all the acquaintances, everything is back in Dimona, because that's where he lived most of his life. So I thought maybe that's probably the better place. The other hand, since we're here right now, and it's Yom Shishi, And maybe we just bury him here in Beersheba. So the hour was getting late, and they had pretty much no choice. They decided to bury him in Beersheba, where they were. Okay. Now the sons, including Rav Meir, they had the minhag of Yushalayim that the children don't go to the burial, the base of fires. Fine. So for the Yetzim burial. Okay. So they buried him. They sat Shiva. And then after the Shiva, though, the sons wanted to go to the kever, you know. So they go to the kever, and they were in total shock. Why? They realized, because they weren't there at the time, at the burial, they realized that the kever Kedisha, I guess, made a grave error, no pun intended, and they buried the father in the a plot for people which are Safik Jews. Not only people that don't keep Shabbos, okay, these are Safik Jews bichla. I don't know how that happened, but he was buried in the wrong part. The sons like freaked out, and they just didn't know what to do. They said, "We can't let our father be buried over here." So he got in touch with Rav Nissen Karelitz, Shlita, and asked him what should we do. So Rav Nissen said, "Chad v'chalak." Said you got to get him out of there. You got to take him out of there and put him in a regular place immediately. However, that wasn't so simple because the Misrad HaBriut, the health department in the country, says nothing doing. You can't just go taking bodies out. No, you can't do that. So they said, "Well, we have to do." I said, "No, nothing doing." Anyway, so they put more pressure and this and that, and they said, "Okay, we'll agree to it, but you have to wait a year." So why wait a year? He says, because their thoughts were, they said, look, he's already been in the ground for like a week or so, right? He's after Shiva or whatever. It's been already over a week in the ground. So a body has been in the ground for over a week. You're going to open it up. It's going to terrible. It's going to be full of worms and smell and this and that, whatever. And it's a health hazard, you know. So if we're not going to let it. After a year, it's already decomposed. No more flesh, no more this, no more bones, whatever. Then you can take it. Okay, but right now, we're nothing doing. You have to wait a year. Anyway, so they went back to Rav Nissim, and they said, what is this? He said, no, not a year. You got to get him out immediately. Anyway, so they put more pressure. Finally, they said, they can say, okay, fine, we'll make one exception. We'll let you do it. Baruch Hashem. So what happens? They open up the kever, and they take out the father, and everybody's like closing their noses, waiting for this. And they take him out. Wouldn't you know it? Shalem. no smell, no worms, no nothing. His body miraculously, as they say, you know, tzaddikim, they don't decompose. He was not, and again, they say this story didn't happen like thousands of years ago, and this was like recent, okay? And again, that was the reason the health department didn't want him today, because it was full of worms, and his, you know, after the, but nothing clean. The body was totally clean, and no smell, no nothing, after being there for over a week underground. Anyway, so afterwards, of course, they moved the body, etc. And afterwards, they were saying, well, you know, they thought he was a Pashut Yid. And so they were trying to figure out, like, in what schus, obviously, he was not so Pashut. They were trying to think, in what was this, what special mila did he have? That, because of this, he was zochet to this body shouldn't decompose. So one of the things they came up with that they noticed he was known for, that any time when they opened the aron, they take out the Sefer Torah, he was the first one to be right over there kissing the Sefer Torah. And they thought that was one mila. And the other mila, he was always also very careful of, with his mouth, right? Nesor Lashon Chamera. He was careful not to speak Lashon Hara. That was the two special milas. We said one of the things of kissing the Sefer Torah mentioned in the Tefillah Zakah. Another very interesting vort is also brought on from Tefillah Zakah. We say Vayidei Schusa Tefilos Shnispalo Bayom Hakodesh Hazeh Yalu VYavo VYagiu VYitzarfu Imehem Kol Tefilah Shispalalnu B'Chol Hashana B'Loch Havana. So that in the schus of the tefillahs that we will dove in today, we say in Tefillah Zakah on Yom Kippur, and this holy day, that will go up and will come, right, and we'll join in with them. The tefillahs that we dove in today in Yom Kippur, all the tefillahs that we dove in the whole year without kavana, will all be included in this in today. This great story to bring this point out. There is. Once this chassid from chassidim of the Chortkov, the Rebbe Mitchortkov, and he was a vreich, and he went up to the Rebbe and he says, "Rebbe, I got a problem." He says, "What's the problem?" He says, "My father-in-law." He says, "What's the problem with your father-in-law?" He says, "My father-in-law, he doesn't daven." He says, "What are you talking about?" He says, "He doesn't daven. I'm telling you, my father-in-law doesn't daven." He says, "How can that be?" He says, "I don't know. It's true." So he says, "When do you daven?" So he says, Rabbi says, "I don't know. There's 9 o'clock meeting." He goes, "Okay, probably your father davens at the father-in-law davens at 7 o'clock meeting. You miss him every day." He goes, No. He doesn't daven. I'm telling you." So he says, "Wait. Do me a favor. Go and seriously, follow up. Look, check it out seriously. And if you really see that he's not davening, then tell him to come. I want to speak to him." But so he checks it out, and sure enough, his father-in-law, as far as he knows, doesn't daven. So he goes up to the father-in-law. He says, "I heard the Rebbe wants to speak to you." He says, "Rebbe, speak to me?" He says, "Yeah." "Uh-oh." So he goes to the Rebbe, and he comes to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, "Tell me something. I heard some crazy rumor that you don't daven." He says, "That's right." He goes, "How was pshat? How could you not daven?" So he says, "Rebbe, it's very simple." He says, I don't have a lot of milas, okay? But one mila that I'm very, very careful in is emes. I'm a really emesistic guy. And I can't daven with kavana. I'm thinking about that, I'm thinking about this, I don't daven with kavana. So I don't feel that's emesistic to stand there in front of Hashem, think about this, think about that, not daven with kavana. And that's not emes. And I'm an emesistic guy, so I don't daven. Okay. So the Rebbe says the following word. This is a great word. Says Pasuk says in Tehillim, Hashem yispor bichsov amim. Literally, Hashem counts it with the ktav, like the writing of the amim, like the nations. Ze yulad sham sela. This one was born there, whatever that means. So we'll explain. So he says, Rebbe explained like this. He says, a yid comes up, starts davening, first feel of the year, whatever, blah, 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 blah. He's thinking about this, thinking about that. The old story, famous story about the guy was davening, right? And the Rebbe comes up to him right after Shemoneh Esrei and sticks out his hand and says to the, saying, "Oh, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem." He goes, "What?" Turns, "What do you mean, Shalom Aleichem?" "Shalom Aleichem, welcome, welcome." So he says, Rebbe, what do you mean welcome? I didn't leave. I didn't come back from Chutzar. So I've been here a little time. What do you mean shalom aleichem? Because I know, he says, by the looks of the way you're davening, you're five times around the world, you know. So welcome me, shalom aleichem. Anyway, so he says, not concentrating about that. But so what happens in Shemai, what do they do? Big zero, right? What kind of a tefillah is that? F is zero. Fine, next tefillah, same thing. Little concentration, no concentration, nothing. What? Shemaim, another zero. Next thing, another zero. Zero, 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 zero. Right? But the whole year goes along. And well, everything's, every single tefillah is a zero, zero, zero. Whole line of zeros over here. Okay? However, then comes Yom Kippur, as we saw in the tefillah Zaka. Right? Then comes Yom Kippur. And then, if a person's tefillahs are good on Yom Kippur, so then Hashem says, ah, now we can put up the number one. However, where are you going to put the one? If you put the one at the right side of all the zeros, so that's a 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, that's one. If you put it on the left side of all the zeros, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, then you have a huge, huge, huge number. Right, millions and billions or whatever. Okay? So the pen, where is Hashem going to put the one? So that's what David Melech is saying. Why? Because how do the nations of the world, how do they write? They write from left to right. Like English, right, left to right. Hebrew, though, how do you write? Right to left. So what does it say in the Pasuk? Hashem yispor bichsov amim. Hashem is going to write. How? Like the Amim, like the nations. How do the nations write? They write from left to right. Means, where is Hashem going to put that one? Bichsov Amim, like where the nations write, on the left. And he puts the number there on the left, and then you get this huge, huge number. And then, as the Pasuk says, Zeh Yulad Shem Selah, and because of that, will be born, reborn, all those tefillahs, all those Ephesus that we had from the whole year, from that good, strong tefillah on Yom Kippur, that'll put the one, Hashem puts the one at the beginning on the left side, and that creates a huge, huge number, and then all the tefillahs, that Yulad Sham, it's gonna make all those tefillahs of the whole year, like a reborn tefillahs, and they're gonna go all up to Hashem. So therefore he told the guy, you know, okay, you might have all these zeros, you know, but still, kedai, so that on Yom Kippur, when you have those, one good tefillah, I put the one, Hashem will put it in the front, and you'll have bring together all those tefillahs. That is exactly what we're saying in tefillah Zaka. Right? That we are the schus of tefillah, shnei spalel, we have that, etc. Yalu, we have, we yagiu, we starf, we mem, call a tefillah, shnei spalel, call a shana. That's going to bring them all together. Okay, next. The famous story that Rav Gifter, Zatzal, Rosh Yeshiva tells, used to like to say, about Rav Moshe Feinstein, Zatzal. So what happened? Famous Maisa, that's going on, also we say in Tefillah Zaka, V'hinini mochel mechila gemura. We say in our Tefillah Zaka that we are mochel anybody, you know, mechila gemura, that did anything to us this past year, whatever. Yeah, so once, there were these two guys, and they had this din Torah, an argument between them. This one said, "Oh, it's money, this isn't only money, etc." So what they did was, the money that was in question, it was held by a third party, and they were going to go through a Moshe Feinstein to decide, you know, who wins, and then that money will go to that person. Right. So that was how it happened, and they had the din Torah, and Moshe said that, Reuven Shimon, let's say, he said, okay, Reuven, he's right, and the money should go to him. Right, that was the end of that. So next, this third party that had that money had to give it to Reuven. So Reuven came to Moshe and said that I'm not getting the money from this third party. He goes, why not? He says, he doesn't want to give it to me. He says, doesn't want to give it to you, why not? I said, oh. So he says, tell him to come to me. Fine. So he says, you have the money? He goes, yeah. He says, so you're supposed to give it. How come you're not giving it to Reuven? He won. I told you he won. How are you giving it to him? He said, well, I was going to, but this certain avreich came to me, and he said that I shouldn't give it. He says, what? Why not? He says, he said there was something wrong with the din Torah, that you're din Torah, Moshe, and therefore it's not right, I shouldn't give the money to Reuven. He says, What? He says, tell that guy to call me, please. Fine. So the Avreich gets in touch with Moshe. And Moshe says, is it true that you told this third party that not to give the money? So he says, yeah, that's right. He goes, well, I understand why. He says, because your din Torah was not a good din Torah. He says, what are you talking about? He says, it was against a Beferish of Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to have a din Torah at night. And Moshe, your din Torah was at night, and therefore it's no good. So it's not right. You shouldn't, it's an apostle of din Torah. Nor, you know, you shouldn't give the money. So he says, excuse me. He says, with all due respect, but you should know the halacha is that gomrim balayla. As long as the din Torah started in the day, you can finish at night. And that's the line. And it started in the day. There's nothing wrong with the din Torah. Okay. So the Avreich b'chutzpah said, don't give me your pshetlach, you know, all I know is against the Mishnah Mefureshet, and it's not good, mamash b'chutzpah. Okay. So, that was the end of that. What happens? Time went on. Came Rosh Hashanah, came Yom Kippur, and after Yom Kippur, this same Avreich, chutzpan, had the nerve to come to Rav Moshe, and he says, "Yeah, I'd like you to give me a ksav kabbalah for shechita. I'm a shochet. I want to have a signed by you that I'm a like smicha for shechita, whatever." So Rav Moshe says, "Oh yeah, sure, no problem. Come in, sit down." He takes out his letterhead and he writes this beautiful letter of recommendation. You know, it's a smicha of this guy, whatever, and he gives it to him. Anyway, word got out what happened. Everybody. I can't believe it. How could he do such a thing? This chutzpah had nerve to say, Rav Moshe doesn't know how to give the Torah. He says, you're giving him pshetla. And then he gives him how could he do that? Anyway, Rav Yaakov Yitzhak Ruderman, the Rosh Yeshiva of Neri Yisrael Zatzal. So he met with Rav Moshe once, and after this, and he said, Rav Moshe, he said, I don't understand you. He says, how could you do that? How could you give this chutzpah a letter like that? So Rav Moshe answered Rav Ruderman, and he says, excuse me, he says, I don't understand you. He says, what do you mean? He says, this guy came to me after Yom Kippur. Right? And I said in my Tfilah Zaka, hinini mochel mechila gemura. Right? I was moichel mechila. I said, hinini mochel, I am moichel. Anybody there, I was moichel. So how could I not give him? I was told I was moichel him. So how can I not give him the thing? That would be what I was saying. Was not emes? No, it was 100% emes. I was mamish moichel everybody. And therefore, not giving him would have been a shaila. I could have had moichel, I'm not going to give him the letter. One last maisa. We say as part of our vidui gazalnu, so we think gazalnu, what was stealing, what did I steal? I didn't rob any banks this year, Baruch Hashem, but as we know that the stealing could be there's all kinds of degrees of stealing, and there's Maisa once the Saba Mikelmer Simcha Zisel. He was, didn't say who, for obvious reasons. We'll see, he went with one at Tzaddikei Ador in his time. He was traveling with him. So they planned to stay at a certain inn. So this woman was in charge of whatever. And a Jewish woman. And they came to the inn. And as soon as the woman saw them coming, she says, oh, Tzaddikim, coming to my house. Whoa, she was so excited. And she, got everything ready and cooked up a storm and made everything comfortable, room for them, this and that, whatever. And she sat them down at the table for the meal. And she was one of those, talkative types, And she's talking and talking and telling about this and about her, She had an inn and like a farm kaze, She's talking about her animals and her chickens and her this and her that, whatever. So this tzaddik, that was with her, Simcha Zisel, he's sitting there learning, I gotta listen to this, what I mean? And, but Simcha Zisel, no, he was listening intently to, everything that this someone was saying, and said, ask me, yeah, really, how many chickens was that again? And whatever, how big are they? And this, and he was, taking tequila as if she, taking an interest in what this woman was saying. And she's going on and on, whatever. Fine. So after they, you know, stayed there, and they were wanted to leave, so they said, okay, how much do I owe you? And they, you know, took out their wallets, you know, to pay for their stay. So she goes, no, chas v'shalom, I'm not taking any money. You know, it's my schus, it's tzaddikim staying in my house. You know, I'm not going to take any money. He said, no, we want to pay you. He said, no, please. Anyway, she won. You know, she refused. No way she's going to take any money. And they, okay, thanked her, of course, very much, and they left their house. So, after they left, the Rav Simcha Zissel turns to this other tzaddik that was with him and says, aren't you choshesh that maybe you're like over in Gezel? He says, Gezel? He says, what? You know, like not paying for, you know, for your stay. So he says, well, first of all, why just me? And second of all, you saw that I wanted to pay, I had my wallet out, she didn't want to take the money. He says, no, I'm not talking about it. I know she didn't want to take the money. But when she was, you know, we owe her something, right? So when she was telling us all about her chickens and her farm and everything like that, you were sitting there with your head in the safer, you know, ignoring her or whatever, and not giving her much shana, you know, is ignoring her. Okay, at least I, you know, listen, ask or whatever, and I gave her the pleasure of wanting to, of taking an interest. Okay, so from me, she got something. But from you, you didn't have the, you know, you didn't give her that little bit of hana of showing interest. So you didn't give her anything. So you left taking without giving her anything. As a result, maybe that's Gezel. Okay? I at least gave her something. I gave her, you know, showing my interest. I gave her something. I paid something back. But you didn't pay her anything. So she questioned, maybe that's a shtickle Gezel. So we have to be careful. In fact, that's the, you know, the whole, the pinnacle, of course, of Yom Kippur is, of course, Ne'ilah, you know, and then the Shemona Esrei of Ne'ilah, what's the main thing, the headline of the Shemona Esrei? We say, Lama Nechtal Me'oshen Kedenu, right? Those are the word that we should, for the sake that we should stop the Oshek Kedenu, stealing of our hand, you know. So, unfortunately, discussed, you know, again, that's Ne'ilah, as I'm mentioning again, Gezel, Oshek Kedenu, that we were stealing, whatever. So again, like we said, there's all different, you know, different perushim, but there's all different levels of Gezel, and you know, from Gezel Shena, and here it's not showing interest to somebody. Sometimes that itself can sometimes end up being Gezel. So a person has to be very careful. Others say that the different idea, the Gezel here is that you didn't live up to your potential, right? As Hashem gives you all kinds of, you know, kochos, and expect you to use it. If you take the kochos but don't use it for what he gave it to you for Torah, Voda, whatever, for Voda Hashem, use it for other things, whatever, it's like stealing. So that itself is Oshek Yadin. So Zrat Hashem, we should be zocha in these final days of Seiras Yimei Tshuva, to in fact Tshuva Shleima, sure we should be zocha to be nichtav and nechtam in the Sefer Beinonim with the Lamed, with the Shva underneath it, with the Lechaim, Zochal Lechaim Tovim Lashalom, Chaim Malei Osher Veosher, Ben Meruchnius, Ben Megashmius, and Shir Zocha to a wonderful Shana Tova Masuka, Tafshi 9 Aleph, and be Zocha to the Iker Bracha of the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Bimhir V'Yameinu, Amen.